Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and from the United States, we hear from Father James Marchanda, a preacher, composer, and musician, with a preaching entitled Protecting Our Unity.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. One body and one Spirit, as you were also called to the one hope of your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The Word of the Lord. The reading that I have just shared from the 17th Sunday in Ordinary Time is a call to unity. Exactly what Jesus prayed for before his passion and death. On a night when he could have been so disturbed, so concerned about what was about to take place for him, he did not pray for himself. He did not beg for help or protection or to be spared or to be strengthened. He did not pray that his disciples would be more intelligent, would be more understanding, would get more of what his life was all about. It wasn't about him. He prayed for them and for their unity. At the most critical moment of the life of Jesus, at the turning point in his life, at the point of fulfillment of all that he came to do, his prayer was not for him. His prayer was not about him. His prayer was for unity. He prayed that they, his followers, may be one, and that all who heard them may be one. He prayed for unity. Unity may be the greatest honor we can give to God. Not our personal piety or preferences, not our personal religious practice preferences, but unity, pure and simple. And by pure and simple, I mean one of the most challenging and difficult spiritual goals of our lives. Jesus prayed for unity in what we call the priestly prayer of Christ. And today, St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians calls us to the dignity of our call in preserving the unity among us. It is a powerful, powerful reading and challenge, especially as it is bookended by the first reading from the second book of Kings and by the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John, both about feeding the people with little resources and about the miraculous ability of the prophet and of Jesus to bless food and to share it with numbers way beyond their means. For me, it's definitely pointing to communion, definitely pointing to Eucharist. And then chronologically, this letter of Paul to the Ephesians following both of those readings is about our preserving the unity among us and living up to the dignity of our calls. This 17th Sunday of Ordinary Time seems to be about Eucharist and seems to be about the unity required of all who participate in Eucharist. In 2005, I wrote a song entitled Communion. The first verse reads, "We are called by this communion to renew community. We are charged by this communion to promote our unity. Even though we may have differences, through a rich diversity, we are bound by this communion to preserve community." The second verse sings, "We are challenged by communion to protect our unity. We are cautioned by communion to address polarities. Even when we choose to disagree over values we hold dear, we are bound by this communion to safeguard our unity." Yes, my friends, we are beckoned by the banquet in which we participate to actually become the bread we eat. We are summoned by the supper at the table of the Lord to be servants washing feet. Let us hunger for humility. Let us thirst for thoughts of peace. We are bound by this communion to reflect divinity. To reflect divinity. That's what our participation in Eucharist is about. Reflecting divinity 24/7. In all that we are and in all that we do, especially in struggling for unity. The world needs that struggle today more than it may have in ages. We are so divided. There is such disunity, not only in the world, not only in governments, but in our church. How is Eucharist forming us as ambassadors for unity? What are we doing because we participate in Eucharist for the achievement of unity in our small circles of life and in as broad a circle of life that we can participate in? One of the greatest examples that I've ever experienced of our faith lives and our prayer lives contributing to reconciliation and contributing to unity is what happened in Northern Ireland. I had the great privilege in 2006 of conducting a concert tour for peace in Ireland and Northern Ireland. And we began in Northern Ireland. We did a prayer, a mass, and an abbreviated concert at the Redemptorist Monastery of Clonard in Northern Ireland. And I was privileged to concelebrate the mass with the Redemptorist Father Jerry Reynolds, now deceased, after which he gave us a stunning presentation about how he participated in trying to achieve unity to end the disgraceful troubles in Northern Ireland. He talked about himself and the Presbyterian Reverend Kenneth Newell and how they prayed and came together in meetings to figure out how they might include the people of God in achieving an end to the troubles. They formed what were called Pilgrim Christians. And what they did was they invited them to participate in each other's prayer. So they invited Roman Catholics to go to an early Mass in their churches and then to attend a Protestant service. The Presbyterian Church, the Baptist Church, the Lutheran Church. And they invited the Protestants to do the same, to go to an earlier Sunday morning celebration in their churches, and then to attend the Eucharist at a Roman Catholic parish in Northern Ireland. They called them pilgrim Christians. And the thinking was, how can we pray together and then continue to kill each other? How can we possibly pray in the name of Jesus Christ and continue to kill? Together they wrote a book titled Friendship Toward Peace. And they contributed by their struggle for peace to help achieve the peace. It was a marvelous example of practical coming together and crossing lines and crossing boundaries and broadening how we think and how we pray, asking the basic, simple question, how can we pray? How can we receive Eucharist and continue to kill? Continue in disunity. Continue in such staunch division. Probably one of the greatest examples of unity that I've ever heard of firsthand by Father Jerry Reynolds himself and witnessed as it continues today. My friends, today's readings seem to be about Eucharist, communion, bread for the hungry, both in the second book of Kings and in John's Gospel. The responsorial psalm even says, the hand of the Lord feeds us and answers all our needs. It's not only the Lord that is expected to feed and answer needs. Once we are fed, how do we answer the needs of others? Once we are fed, how do we struggle for unity where we live and beyond where we live? On this 17th Sunday of Ordinary Time, when we hear about bread and about feeding the needy, one of the most or the greatest needs of today is the unity among the people that call themselves Christians. The theme that Paul gives us is the unity required of Eucharist and our part in it because of the dignity of our call. May we pray in all our personal prayer to allow the Eucharist to be so much greater than personal prayer, to be what it was meant to be, the foundation of unity among all of us.